The Politics, Politics, Politics program is brought to you as always by Patreon.com/JURY. That's my name. My name is Jury. Patreon.com/JURY is where you're going to go to subscribe to get not only this or support this show if you just want to kick us a couple ducats, but also if you want to be able to get our mini episodes on Monday and Friday, well, there's only one place that you can go. And that is patreon.com/JURY. Get your custom RSS feed immediately when you sign up. It's just right there for you. You pop it in your podcast player and you get new episodes delivered right to you. It's the best way to roll. You're going to get a Florida episode on Friday because I'm going to be back in my home state, baby. Oh, it's going to be a great time. Go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/JURY. And by the contender, the game of presidential debate, we not only have the game, the base game available for you at thecontender.us, but also the brand new sex scandal brackets. We're going to update those during this episode as well. So go ahead and check us out at thecontender.us. Brand new sex scandal brackets expansion, only $10. New cards for your game. It's back into the political season. You're going to want to break this out at parties. I'm just telling you, it's a fun time. Go ahead and check it out. Thecontender.us. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say? We just do the damn thing! Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gents, clear out the vents, which means blow a ventriloquist. Hi, everybody. It's me, Justin Robert Young. This is the Justin Robert Young Presents the Politics, Politics, Politics show. We are upon a joyous moment in our nation's history. Dear friends, we are here at a tremendous time for us to all come together and celebrate. Yes, I know that there are some things in the news that are sullen for some. Some find it, you know, we have Cambridge Analytica going back and forth with Facebook. Exactly how much did they know? Was it a breach? Was it not a breach? How has Cambridge Analytica soiled the democracies of the United States and the United Kingdom? We've got big election news coming out of Illinois. They have settled who their governorship battle will be. We've got trends in media trends. Breitbart's audience is dying on the vine. But put all that out of your mind. Whether or not that makes you excited or sad. Whether or not you are delighted by anything that I have said or you are upset by it. What I want you guys to do is please just follow along with me because this is a moment for us to come together. Can you smell it? Do me a favor, dear listeners. Close your eyes and take a deep breath in. I believe if you are on the same wavelength that I am, that you will be able to smell cotton candy and popcorn, maybe some kettle corn, if the moment is festive enough. Oh, watch your feet, ladies and gentlemen, because it appears as if people have set out lawn chairs here upon Main Street. Yes, Yes, all the roads are closed. Because today is not just a normal day. No, 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 friends. Listen. Listen very, very closely. Yes. Yes. There's a parade. A parade is making its way through the political town square. Oh, look. Look. You can see the sign. Look at the sign. The sign's coming up. Oh, there it is. There it is. Oh, hand sewn. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the parade of Trump family side pieces. Oh, look, there she is. There she is there at the head of the parade. I'm sure you've seen her if you've been watching literally anything on CNN for the past 5 seconds, or the past month, you know. Oh, wait, there's like a serial bomber in Austin. No. Wall to wall, Stormy Daniels. Yes, the head of the Trump parade of side pieces. It is Stormy Daniels, reported Donald Trump, President Trump side piece from several years ago, back in the aughts. The aughts were a crazy time, and Stormy Daniels was certainly a part of it, apparently, allegedly, according to her, sleeping with Trump and then taking money to not talk about it. This was according to, what she is now suing to allow to have out there. She is now, this is the Trump parade of side pieces. Stormy Daniels has taken a polygraph test to find out whether or not she is lying, and we have a picture of her strapped down so she can take a polygraph test. Kind of looks like a hostage video, and I'm almost positive that this still frame is the only still frame people are showing about this, because it's literally just Stormy Daniels with two straps immediately north and south of her gigantic boobs. This is from CNN. Stormy Daniels was, quote, truthful about having unprotected vaginal intercourse with Donald Trump in July 2006, according to a polygraph test report from 2011. The report states that the, quote, probability of deception was measured to be less than 1%. It was given to CNN by Michael Avenatti, Daniels' attorney, and contains three pertinent questions. Quote, around July 2006, did you ever have vaginal intercourse with Donald Trump? Around July 2006, have you ever had unprotected sex with Donald Trump? And did Trump say you would get on The Apprentice? Daniels replies yes to all three questions. The first two were analyzed to be truthful, and the third question was inconclusive, according to polygraph examiner Ronald Slay. Now, here's a real awesome part about news writing, right? Because, yes, this element, this little tidbit certainly is exclusive to CNN, it appears. They're excited to run with it. But there are questions. When I make fun of television news, this is the kind of shit that I make fun of. Because I believe, as much as you would like to take a shit on the New York Times or the Washington Post, and I would make fun of it for them if they did this, you would need to have other pieces around this one piece to make a story. Because of what happens in the 4th paragraph, the one sentence, 4th paragraph of this particular story. And I quote from this article as written by Jake Tapper, MJ Lee, and Sophie Tatum. Polygraphs are generally inadmissible in court. Now, to quote Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction, that's one way to say it. Another way to say it is that polygraphs have been proven to be scientifically inconclusive of doing exactly what their only purpose in life is, which is determining the truth. The reason why they're inadmissible in court is because you can't prove whether or not they are accurate. If you were able to prove that they were accurate, then you would not have a problem with their admissibility. Now, we can say, based on how they work, that maybe they are leaning you generally toward the truth. But if we are now taking this as the sole data point to advance a nationally relevant story forward, it is my opinion that maybe you should put something a little bit else. You know, put a little garnish around this story so it's not just, look, polygraph results presented to us, not even polygraph, 7-year-old polygraph results presented to us by the lawyer of the person whose case is advanced by these results. So, this is, I mean, can we just stop covering? I mean, like, look, I love Stormy Daniels. I love this story. I'm loving it. There is not a single second of this that I don't enjoy. But I'm a garbage merchant. I'm a dirt farmer. I'm a dumpster diver of political thought. I love every little misstep, screw-up, tactical decision made one way or another. The only thing that I am serious about in politics is that we need to take politicians less seriously. And that is what I am trying to move forward. So I love it if Michael Avenatti gave me those polygraph results, I'd be delighted to share them with you. With the context that I'm giving you right now. Something that CNN buries underneath a picture of Stormy Daniels in apparently some Al-Qaeda training facility. And then 3 paragraphs that explain that she's been telling the truth about her affair. Also, there's like 0 chance that she's not telling the truth about her affair. Like, there's no question that she is absolutely telling the truth about her affair with Donald Trump in my mind. This is unquestionably the case. It seems like everything that she has said, not only in that Us Weekly interview that basically gives us the whole fucking story, but also in whatever situation she has gotten herself into later, that this is probably, in my mind, I'd be highly, highly, highly dubious if it were not the case. Seems like Donald Trump's MO. But at the same time, until Robert Mueller brings Stormy Daniels into his special investigation, until we start to get into situations where Donald Trump might have to lie about his affair on the record, then I don't really care. And it is so clear that CNN and Stormy Daniels are in a very mutually beneficial relationship, because CNN gets a big sensational story. President and porn star. And Stormy Daniels gets to be relevant on a level that she has not been in many, 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 many years. She's a very smart woman. Hell, I know, because she told me that Donald Trump told her in that Us Weekly interview. And I would like to believe in our president. Rabbit is 12 in the chat room says, is Mueller investigating Trump's sex life now? Special prosecutors have a habit of wandering around. Ask Ken Starr. But wait a minute. Hold on. Did you guys think that the parade was over? Did you guys? No. That's just the first float in the parade of Trump side pieces.
Who's that? Who's that? Who's that coming around the bend? Coming around the old-timey drugstore. Oh, I can almost see her past the soda jerk. Yeah. Oh, look! It's former Playboy model Karen O'Dougal! Look at her! Oh, she looks so fit! I wonder how she keeps fit. Maybe we should read a fitness column written by Karen O'Dougal. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, O'Dougal. McDougal. Don't worry. The O's coming later. Karen McDougal. Well, wait. Hold on. She's the second float in the Trump family side piece parade. Here we go. Ex-Playboy model Karen McDougal sues to speak about her alleged Trump affair. This is from the New York Times. Quote, a former Playboy model who claimed that she had an affair with Donald J. Trump sued on Tuesday to be released from a 2016 legal agreement restricting her ability to speak, becoming the second woman this month to challenge Trump allies' efforts during the presidential campaign to bury stories about extramarital affairs. The model Karen McDougal is suing the National Enquirer's parent company, which paid her $150,000, whose chief executive is a friend of President Trump. The other woman, adult entertainment star Stephanie Clifford, better known as Stormy Daniels, was paid $130,000 to stay quiet by the president's personal lawyer, Michael D. Cohen. She filed her lawsuit earlier this month. Both women argue that their contracts are invalid and are trying to get around clauses requiring them to resolve disputes in secretive arbitration proceedings rather than in open court. Mr. Trump has denied the affairs, which both women have described as consensual. So, now let's be clear here on exactly how this is, because this is the parade of Trump family side pieces, all right? There's another court case out there about Donald Trump sexually harassing somebody during the filming of The Apprentice. She's not a part of the side piece parade. The side piece parade, if you're unaware, a side piece is somebody that you are consensually having sex with outside of your marriage. So JSC315 says it's almost as if he's a scumbag who uses blackmail to get what he wants. Now, I would make the argument that he has not used blackmail to get what he wants. In fact, what Donald Trump has done via his surrogates is offer not insignificant amounts of money to just not talk about it anymore. This is, removed of its political context, something that happens quite a bit. You know? There is certainly situations where plenty of times somebody is paid to just not talk about a thing because it is not convenient for business, as it were. Somebody who is very, very, very media focused like Donald Trump, specifically somebody that was coming out of the grab him in the pussy situation, that it was having an avalanche of women say that he was sexually aggressive toward him, that he did not want any more ghosts of pussy pass flying out of the closet and rattling chains. So I would only quibble on the phrase blackmail, because it's not like he said, hey, by the way, I know what you did about that, and if you tell about this, then I'm going to tell about that. He said, hey, look, how about you don't talk about this, and I give you six figures. All right. Six figures. Not the end of the world. Now, these women now would like to talk about this more than they would. And also, let's not forget, it was Stormy Daniels that was pushing to get this deal done as the campaign rolled into its final phases, because she was, as was many people, including your dear podcast host, whom you are listening to right now, absolutely sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And once Donald Trump wasn't in line to be president, It wouldn't fucking matter if Stormy Daniels came out and said, yeah, I fucked Donald Trump. Because then everyone would be like, sure, he's Donald Trump, failed presidential candidate and international playboy. So, Karen McDougal was a bit of a different story. She had something happen that is a bit of a media tactic, but the head of the head of AMA, the American Media Association, is that it? The parent company that runs the National Enquirer, based out of South Florida, because all the nasty shit happens in South Florida. She basically sold her story to the National Enquirer for that amount of money. With the understanding from the National Enquirer's point of view that they were never going to run it. They then also promised her a fitness column. I couldn't find whether or not she actually did a fitness column for them. But now she wants to be out of that situation and to be able to talk about her affair with Donald Trump. Now, Parking Dog in our chat asks what he calls a dumb question, but I don't think it's dumb. Dumb question, why is this news? Because it involves the president's dick. That's why. The president's dick is something that has long had a lot of press attached to it. And any time that there is anything scandalous about any president, it is something that is normally covered. Now, there also are, you know, obviously things are in a very heightened political state. And there is an element of schadenfreude that for all that Donald Trump, all the hay that Donald Trump made about the sex lives of the Clintons, that watching some of his dirty laundry tumble into the street is something that an element of our electorate finds pleasing. I think that would be a fair way to say it. But that would be the reason why those two stories are news. The reason why this is a parade of Donald, or the parade of Trump family side pieces and not Donald Trump side pieces, is because of float number three. Who's that? Who's that? I can't quite see them. Yeah. No, there's some grills out there on the street. I can't see the sign. Oh! Oh! For all of our British listeners, oh my God, it's Danity Kane singer Aubrey O'Day. Wait a minute. She apparently was the former side piece of Donald Trump Jr., who is now divorcing his wife. Why is this news, Parking Dog? Just because I love a good mess. Who doesn't love a good mess? This one is particularly ripe for the silliness. This is all right. I don't want to dance on any grave here. Personal tragedy is personal tragedy. I believe Donald Trump and his wife had kids, so I don't want to fucking jump up and down about their divorce. Let them be at peace. However, a lesson to all who would be wise to heed it. Man, do you want to be careful about your side pieces? Oh! Apparently, Donald Trump Jr., while he was filming, or while The Apprentice was being filmed, fell for the comely lass by the name of Aubrey O'Day. Aubrey O'Day is a British pop singer. She is somebody that
is fairly often in the public eye. But now that his that Donald Trump Jr.'s divorce is moving forward, it is a bit more of a hot topic. And so a few things came out over the last couple days. Number one, this according to the Daily Mail, are Aubrey O'Day and Donald Trump Jr.'s playing footsie in bed with one another during this photo taking during their 2012 affair. Aubrey O'Day posted the following picture to Twitter in 2012. For those of you who are only listening, the words are, "My babe is protecting my feet from bunion attacks. True love feet." And there is a very cutesy photo of, you know, 2 feet, you know, one covering the other one. This has become scandalous as eagle-eyed internet folks have then compared the feet in that picture to feet pics from Donald Trump Jr.'s Instagram and laid them side by side. And as we can see this, and you can see the YouTube version of this program either in the Twitch VODs or youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung, that they certainly look quite a bit like the same damn feet. Ah, not convincing for you? Well, then maybe you'll find this convincing. Number one, after their alleged split and Donald Trump Jr.'s reconciliation with his wife, Aubrey O'Day, being a pop starlet, wrote a song about a tale of love come and gone and the bitter feelings that it leaves. She named the song DJT. Huh. Doesn't mention Donald Trump by name, but certainly doesn't say that DJT stands for anything else. And then, of course, there is this little nugget by way of TMZ. They have unearthed raw footage from a music video that never saw the light of day, a cover of the ubiquitous Gyoti song, Somebody That I Used to Know. This version, though, has a few choice differences, and the video included a naked or topless Aubrey O'Day singing different kinds of lyrics, including "You Were Scared to Ruin Your Family's Name," and "Your Wife's the Only One Glad That We Are Over." She gets a little angry. She's covering her boobs. She's got words like hate and liar. "Tell your wife that never happened and that we were nothing." Here, you want to know what? Why am I just repeating this? Why don't you guys go ahead and hear it your goddamn selves? Oh, no, no, no. She then signs off with something very, well, there's this here. Oh, Aubrey O'Day. That is TMZ, who has the exclusive on the Aubrey O'Day recordings. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that song's a little played out. I mean, maybe she could record a new song with this as the backing track. Oh, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Bye, Trump Family Side Peace Parade. We'll see you on CNN literally whenever we turn on the channel. Bye. Oh, man. Until next year. Until next year. Well, I mean, or literally in 5 minutes. Literally, whenever you want. You can just go ahead and find out about the Trump Side Peace Parade. Here's the other big story that's been rattling around the ecosystem for the past week. Cambridge Analytica. We've actually talked about Cambridge Analytica a little bit, specifically in the Bannon book, Devil's Bargain. Cambridge Analytica was something that very much attracted Steve Bannon to the Mercers, or rather that brought Cambridge Analytica into the Mercer fold. They are a data analyst organization. But they became national news and will probably have a lot more impact on the political world than you might think, because it was revealed by way of two forthcoming bombshell pieces by the New York Times and The Guardian, I believe, that Cambridge Analytica did not come by their data that they would famously would crow about creating psychographs for micro-targeting various different voting demographics. So, okay, let's start here and then build out from this story, because I think that there's been a tremendous, tremendous lack of any kind of tech sensibility in this story in favor of political bomb throwing. And as much as I'd love a good political bomb fight, if you want to actually understand this story, you do need to know just a little bit about how this shit technically works. So the big story that broke was that Cambridge Analytica had a lot of their information that they used to micro-target, first for Ted Cruz in the 2016 election, and then for Donald Trump, that they did not come by that information through Facebook according to their agreement with Facebook. They apparently got a lot of that data by way of a survey that an academic institution was taking, that Facebook had allowed that information out to the academic institution, and then that was passed on to Cambridge Analytica. So, let's start here. When people are talking about parking dog, I'm with you. 2 seconds. Let me get there. I'm going to get there. Parking Dog says, what's the difference between this and the Obama campaign that did the same thing? Pause all that. If that's what you're thinking right now, hold on. I'm coming. All right. So let's understand the first few, couple seconds of this story. Cambridge Analytica is the answer to the tremendously growing operation of how to use social media to micro-target voters. The way that this was traditionally done is by, A, just traditional campaigning. Let's understand where we're strong. You can usually do that by determining how many registered voters are there, what demographics you are responding to, polling data, that kind of stuff. The next step from that was using things like magazine subscriptions. So back in the 70s and 80s, there was a tremendous push to go to magazines that you knew were inside your demo or inside a demo that you wanted to get to. You would buy those subscription addresses from that magazine or the parent company, and you would then send mail to those people. You would get their addresses from these people.
This was, you know, breakthrough shit back in the day. Then Facebook comes along. And what Parking Dog was referring to was that Obama's campaign did a lot of the same thing. In fact, they were heralded for it. This was the future of campaigning. And according to some Facebook people, as the site was kind of growing exponentially, they, you know, there are people inside of Facebook that were politically aligned with the then Senator Obama and wanted to see him do well and realize that this is data that could help him. And so they were probably looser with that data then than they would be now as a publicly traded company. Now, the fact that Cambridge Analytica had this data is fairly unsurprising, in my opinion. I think that a lot of people get a lot of data from Facebook because there's a lot of it to be there. And to be honest, the fact that this kind of data exists for Facebook is a feature, not a bug, for them. One might say that it's their entire fucking business. It's the reason why they are a massive advertising juggernaut. Advertising, full stop, is owned by two entities, Google and Facebook. Google says, we know how everybody is searching by, in micro amounts, exactly the search terms that you want to put people in front of. They then buy YouTube, so now they have display there. Yada, yada, yada. They want to sell you demographics and search terms. Facebook says, we can do you one better. We can put it right in the personal news feed based on a million different social graph criteria. Do you only want to give your message to single, college-educated women in certain regions in Pennsylvania? We can do that. Guess what? We have the kind of data that can allow you to get your message out to whomever you want, whenever you want. Talk to us, baby. Facebook's got you. Now, there's other shit that has kind of come out about Cambridge Analytica, enough so that they suspended their CEO yesterday. Part of this is a hidden camera expose where Channel 4 got him to say that they would, like, film political opponents with hookers and shit, and that they would make it seem like they were taking bribes, that they would ghost in and ghost out of situations. I don't know how much this dude is just talking fucking crazy, booty chatter. But we do know that they played a role in the 2016 election. We do know that they're, you know, the trend pieces are still there from the 2016 election with Ted Cruz. I remember when John Teasdale and I, my co-creator on The Contender, went out to Iowa to give free contenders to all the campaigns that were running during the caucus, that their campaign guy that greeted us for us to give him the box was talking about how advanced their system was, just randomly. We were just a dude there to give him a fucking free game. And he's like, yeah, I guess, I don't know if he thought that we were also pressed or something. But this is something that was there. In fact, the story then, if I remember correctly, was that they were also gamifying volunteer work, that they were making it easy for volunteers to be able to track exactly what they did. This is all to say that if we're worried that Facebook, I mean, look, you should be worried about Facebook. You should be worried about exactly how much data Facebook has on you and what they are doing with it and how tightly they are keeping a lid on it.
But you should not be shocked that this is happening. Nor do I think that Cambridge Analytica has done anything that by this fall will seem that weird. And to speak to Parking Dog's point a little bit earlier, if we are going to get into the era or into the situation of how we view things in terms of the matrix of tech literacy and bias and stuff, you know, it is a little weird that, you know, now for whatever reason, political advertisement is nefarious when, you know, Donald Trump is not a very popular president right now. I get it. If Hillary Clinton won, she probably wouldn't be tremendously popular, but would probably be more popular than Trump. But Obama got the king of the new campaign because he used Facebook data to micro-target. Hillary Clinton choked on that. She didn't use Obama's machine particularly well. Cambridge Analytica took that step forward. This is something that repeatedly happens in campaigns. One party makes a machine that the other party wishes they had. The other party spends a lot of money to make a new machine that's better than the old one. Then the other party makes another machine. It's the motherfucking butter battle book. Dr. Seuss had that shit right back in the day. Sonic Fear does point out that the other caveat to this is that Cambridge is a foreign entity. They are based in the UK. I believe that technically the Trump campaign went through an American company that then went to Cambridge Analytica. You're right. That is, I don't mean to, hand wave that as a caveat. It might be Kyle says the Obama campaign didn't get their data from a random quiz. No, because they can get it right from Facebook. The difference is that Facebook turned off that spigot. I will guarantee you that if they had an opportunity to get stuff that was, right now there's no laws on this. You know, there's Facebook's agreement on how people are going to handle this data. But, you know, data wants to be free after all. Here we go. We should ask this literally at every episode. So based on everything we know, is Trump getting impeached? Not based on anything we know. It's certainly not based on... Oh, there we go. Did they forget something? Oh, I think Aubrey O'Day forgot her handbag. Anyway, they got it now. Okay. Bye, guys. Oh, man. We are going so late with this. I thought we were going to be light on news, and it turns out we have that parade took too long. Real quick hits. We will blast through this. Breitbart News, the Ascendant Media Empire coming into the Trump administration. There were two Ascendant media properties that were so pro-Trump, it hurt that you would have thought that as Trump Nation was installed into Washington, D.C., that they would continue to ride high. And that is, in my mind, Breitbart News and Reddit/the_Donald. And Breitbart News has totally fallen apart. According to ComScore, they have lost almost half of their audience. And part of that is, Breitbart News. Here, dig this one. Breitbart News needs to be a cult of personality. It's called fucking Breitbart News. Breitbart News, as founded by Andrew Breitbart, somebody who described himself as a peaceful warrior. But that was his point. He was finding people and destroying them publicly for the delight of an ascendant readership that wanted such coverage. It was the new rebirth of the Clinton persecution machine, right? But for a new era with new enemies and correcting for some of the super wild conspiracy theory stuff that dominated the 90s. So then Breitbart takes, or so then Steve Bannon takes over once Breitbart dies. And it turns out that Breitbart's also, or sorry, the Bannon's also really fucking good at finding enemies that his readership will enjoy watching them torment. And his big understanding was that you wanted to go after Republicans as well as Democrats. So then Bannon just disappears into his own butthole after joining the Trump administration and then being shuffled out and then being quoted so heavily in Fire and Fury. Now he's traveling through the Italian countryside, finding, you know, inner peace in his own Eat, Pray, Love. And Breitbart is just kind of a news site. If they're not swashbuckling, if they're not saying, look at this hypocrisy, then what the fuck are they? Nobody wants Breitbart to be the AP. And so they are losing their audience because of that. Oh, another big point as Sonic Fear points out is that, yeah, these are two Mercer-backed entities, Cambridge Analytica and Breitbart. And by the way, what do they have in common? Both of their fucking CEOs got their heads chopped off. But here we go. ComScore figures for January were down 51% from the same month a year earlier, which is a little bit, you would expect some kind of dip from January to January. That would be leading, you know, that's inauguration and stuff like that. So you would expect a little bit of a dip, but probably not by much. You know, I would wonder, it doesn't seem like Drudge Report's ComScore has gone down. He's always doing a backflip about how many people are visiting his site. Their February number was down 49% from 2017. And last month, the site trafficked was the site's least traffic since February 2015, 4 months before Donald Trump declared his candidacy. I absolutely believe that they need a cult of personality to run that site. Because as much as anybody might think that Breitbart is just a never a more wretched hive of scum and villainy, which I think is part of their appeal, that's what they're trying to do, is if they are not triggering the libs, then they don't feel that they have done a good job that day, or at least Breitbart was at its heyday. It's an interesting media trend to watch, and you ignore it at your own peril. The other big quick news blast is that the primaries for the Illinois state races were yesterday. We now have a billionaire going against a multimillionaire for Illinois State House. But for this podcast, it does mean that Janine Ives, who made that commercial that made me dance around how that gentleman was dressed so he might cartoonishly illustrate that of a transgender person, has lost. It was close. It was like 48 to 51. But Janine Ives has left her supporters all dressed up with nowhere to go. I know where they could go. Come with me, man. I'm heading home. Oh, yeah, baby. I'm heading home tomorrow. Back to the Sunshine State. And that is where we pick up this week's.
Get on the floor if you got that booty.
Oh! Dance, dance, dance. Dance, dance, dance.
Dab, 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 booty.
This is a Gravis poll from February 26th to March 19th with a sample of 2,212 likely voters. That's a big sample, Gravis. This is for the Florida Senate election. It includes a 2.1% margin of error. Stepping up first to the stage, he is the current governor of Florida. He is Rick the Dick Scott. But your headliner, representing the Democratic Party with that donkey ass, he is the current senator of Florida, Full Bill Nelson! 44%. That means that Nelson has a 4-point spread. That one's going to be interesting to watch because Rick Scott, I thought, might have been sunk by Parkland. He decided not to play ball. Marco Rubio did decide to play ball. He was there at that public square stoning CNN town hall. He got plenty of bloody, plenty of scrapes, bruises, and bloody noses from people getting all up in his grill. I thought that would do well for Rubio and poorly for Scott because he's the fucking governor of the state. Hasn't really screwed them all that much. If you look at the numbers, Scott has not led since September of last year in a poll, but he tied in October. And has been anywhere between 1% down and, 1 point down to 4 points down since then. So we will obviously keep an eye on this because Rick Scott is a weird, weird dude. All right, let's go ahead and get into But Your Emails, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Again, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Tim writes, I don't know that Cynthia Nixon's run for New York governor is chaotic or weird enough for politics, 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 but she does have at least one interesting politics-connected role. One of her, for those of you who don't know, Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City is running in the Democratic primary for the governor of New York. One of her early TV roles was in Robert Altman's miniseries Tanner 88. This mockumentary starred Michael Murphy as a prospective presidential candidate, Jack Tanner, and was written by Gary Trudeau of Doonesbury. Cynthia Nixon played Tanner's daughter, Alex. Nixon, Altman, Trudeau, and Murphy also teamed up for the 2004 movie Tanner on Tanner, which revisits the 88 series and provides updates. The original mockumentary is definitely worth a watch, and the 2004 movie is an interesting follow-up. I had never heard of this. I am definitely watching it. Rick writes, first off, you've become my favorite podcaster, considering the podcast I listen to, Hardcore History, DTNS, some twit stuff. That's high praise. I greatly appreciate your work. Thanks. Have you heard of The Knife? TheKnifeMedia.com. Seems like an interesting approach, if not an idealistic one, in a hyper-outrage economy of the modern media. Seems in the vein of some of the message of PX3 and something like Common Sense, Dan Carlin's other podcast. I tend to lean liberal, but holy hell, it's getting annoying to lend a critical fact-based ear just how much I should be outraged, etc. After a time of the constant barrage of anti-Trump jokes, stories, and opinion pieces, it will become harder and harder to remain sensitive to things that need legitimate concern and action. I totally agree, Rick. And thank you so much for listening. I think I cut off a good part of his podcast, or a good part of his email where he mentioned that. This was the next one. The Rick. So I don't know about the Knife Media. I will check it out though, because I always love anybody who's doing stuff in this vein. This is the email I was thinking about. PT, my name is Perry. Little background about myself. I'm from the Bay, but I've been traveling around the world for the past 7 years doing random shit. I'm currently writing you from the Patagonian region of Chile. I first found your podcast when I was living off the grid in Italy with anarchists during the 2016 election campaign, and I've been a huge fan ever since. I rarely miss a show. So here's my question. When listening, I often hear a faint chirping in the background when you're talking, and I was wondering if you own a cockatiel. And if so, is that the head displayed on your podcast logo? If not, what's the deal with the bird head? I love the show, and I'm so glad you decided to keep it going after the election. It's so nice to have a fun, unbiased commentary when you can't get a sense of the vibe from the ground from abroad. One love. PT, thank you for sending the email of the week. Yes, I do own 3 cockatiels. Dr. Bird, Cooper Bird, and Milo Bird. So I never know exactly which one you are hearing. But Dr. Bird's head is on the Politics cover. Eventually we're going to change that. But there we go. Yeah, it is the Sweet Deebs, the Avian Prince. Also, the future first bird president of America and the world, Dr. Bird, right there. Oh, the Deebs. I think my wife and I have given our cockatiel a Christ complex. We laud over him. Charles writes, for God's sakes, you can't find a Republican to defend the right at least once. Oh, this is about the Kanata-Brushwood debate. For God's sakes, you can't find a Republican to defend the right at least once. The only guests you ever have on are liberals or libertarians. And given that all 3 of you live in California or Austin, California 2.0, all it turns into is that a stupid, racist, Nazi-loving, redneck Trump voters have ruined the country and no one to defend the other side. And for Jeff, I'm happy to listen to his opinion, and I defend his right to voice his opinion. But it should be balanced, and hell, maybe now he knows that the rest of the country felt for 8 years of Obama. In my opinion, every liberal discussion on every subject boils down to, quote, if you don't agree with me, then you are an awful, uncaring person, and your opinion doesn't count. Fair commentary, Charles. I have people that I like on the show. I have not had a lot of people that I don't know on the show personally. Here's a spoiler alert. Since I have worked either in podcasting or in traditional media my entire life, I don't have a lot of conservative personal friends. So to be honest, it's the reason why I don't have a lot of guests on the show. And literally, the Jeff Bryan stuff is more just because I like talking to them. And the most recent Jeff one is just like, I worry about Jeff. I personally am like very worried that he's just going to like one day hyperventilate to a point where he's going to like die. I've personally asked like mutual friends of ours whether or not he's okay. So I just wanted to have him on so we could talk through some of this. I do think that a lot of that, you know, a lot of what you're saying is unfortunately true. And this is what, when I have this show so I can talk to blue team and red team people and say, hey, look, you're not going to get anywhere from the right if all you want to do is trigger the libs. And you're not going to get anywhere from the left if all you want to do is explain to some moron why he's a Nazi racist. You are creating lines in the sand that I don't think, A, benefit your cause politically, and B, are good for you personally in terms of mental health, and C, are not good for America. So that's why I like to create this fun little playground where we can talk about side pieces and P-tapes and the nonsense and the silliness and the hypocrisy and the pointing and laughing at the powerful in our country. Because I think that is universal, and we can bring that together and understand each other more. But I would say to you, Charles, this summer, I will make an effort. In fact, let me know who you want me to reach out to. I will try to reach out and have people on the show so we can have conservative voices on the show that will be a little bit more expansive than what we have had in the past. Charles, that's my promise to you.
Politics, 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 politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can go ahead and get that sex scandals bracket. Oh, shit, we didn't update the sex scandals bracket. We'll do a bonus episode.
Politics, 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 politics.
Go ahead, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Again, theyoungamerican@gmail.com is where you can send in your emails. Music has been provided by Valesco and Trap Killers. You can follow me at Justin R. Young everywhere. Sign up for my newsletter. Free, 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 free newsletter. That is at tinyletter.com/Justin Robert Young. If you want to support the show, you can go ahead and do it at patreon.com/JURY. If you want to support the show for free, that also puts money in my pocket, and you have Amazon Prime, go to twitch.tv/JustinRYoung and give me a Prime subscription. And you already get it if you're already paying for Prime. You just give me money each month, and I get it. It's no money out of your pocket. Mwah. Take that, Bezos. Of course, you can download archived episodes of this show at BonerWars.com. All right, folks. Man, some shows talk about politics, baby. Oh, some shows talk about politics. But I'm going to tell you this, man. This other show I heard had politics on it. For real, they did. This one, though, the only one talks about all three. I'll see y'all next week.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.